after the great sermon you heard at the Lord's table, we could just go home and say that we had a feast today. Excellent job. And you did a great job reading. Oh, I've got it now, right? We talked last week about the problem that we have with this flesh. And as much as Paul had grown, he said he still had a problem, and that problem was great. And he was disappointed in himself that he even had that problem. That he had been redeemed in his spirit and flesh and his soul, but now he still had that unredeemed body that gave him problems every day. And so he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. There's an inner battle that goes on in the Christian life. And the Christian life is described as a battleground where two opposing forces, the flesh, our sinful flesh, and the Spirit, God's dwelling presence, are in constant conflict. It's a battle that goes back and forth. Every day we get up and we have to win this battle. And that battle is there, and we hate that we're even tempted. We hate that we succumb sometimes to that. And this is not a passive struggle, but an active war. As long as you live, you're going to be in this battle. So the scripture says the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit are against the flesh. So you can see that this battle is something that all of us suffer every day. I wake up in the morning and have a pain, and at my age you wonder every day, what was that pain? It was a brand new one. And you want to be your mind taken off, and you get to concentrating upon yourself. But the inner tension explains why believers often desire good, but still fall into sin. So you have a divided soul, and it's in a crisis with the flesh. And that battle, I don't think any of you would say is an easy one. Every day, that battle goes on. Paul sees himself a failure when what he's trying to accomplish. You remember later on he says that he had not made it to where he wanted to at that time. He had been apprehended for one thing, and he had failed in some of those things. And with his struggle with sin, he still has not completely overcome it. His heart is there for God, but his struggle is with the body of death. And I don't know whether everybody has figured it out. Since the days of Adam and Eve, everybody's going to die. We have a body of death that's going to die. And we're very aware of that, and we think of it very often. And all Christians suffer with this. I know Mary, as I think of her, and I think of her just about every day. And now I'm starting to think of Dawn every day. They're in constant pain. And that constant pain tries to take your mind away from the spiritualness. And as Mary said, she wakes up every day and she starts out with God. In Romans 5, 12 through 19, he tells where this problem comes from. He says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law." In other words, he's saying there has always been a law, because sin has been imputed to men. "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so it is the gift, for the judgment was by one, so to the condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received abundance of grace and at the gift of righteousness reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Don't you sometimes start hating Adam for what he did? "But I recognize if he hadn't done it, I would have." That we are that way. There is something in us that when God says don't do something, there is something inside of us that says, "I want to do it." Paul recognized, and this is one of the first things, "I cannot do this alone. I've got this battle and I can't win it by myself. If I try to fight it, I'm going to lose the battle. I need help." And that's the first place that a man needs to be, is I need to recognize just how bad I am without Jesus Christ. And he says the rescue is through Jesus Christ. I cannot make it without Jesus Christ. Somebody says that you need Jesus Christ as your crutch, and that is absolutely right. I do need Christ. I need him every day, every minute, every second. He is my life. He is my breath. He is my food. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and our future resurrection are gifts. God gives that to us. God says you are going to be resurrected because my son was resurrected, and you can depend upon that resurrection. But also, my Holy Spirit is going to guide you, and I believe he guides us through the Word. And of course, his providence takes care of us too. So his entire being, inner being, is in love with God. Did you feel that this morning as the Lord's Supper was being talked about? He's talking about the one that we love. He's talking about the one that we're in love with. He's talking about the one that we get our whole nourishment from. It just fills your heart with so much. And you know that the Spirit of God is working in that you recognize what he has done. And we recognize it from Scripture and from those that have heard the Scripture. He has moved from a slave to sin to a slave of Christ. When you think about slavery, it sounds horrible unless you have the perfect master. If you have the perfect master, you have been set free. Now, that may seem contradictory, but that's exactly what God does. He captivates you and then sets you free. And we're going to talk about that freedom in a minute. So how do we overcome the flesh? That's our question this morning. And the two laws named here are two competing world orders. The two rival life paradigms. The first is the life system in which the Spirit of life operates and dominates. And the second is the life system controlled by sin and death. You're either in one or two camps. You're not in both at the same time. When you look, you will find out that here I have this struggle going on, but inside of me is something that is so close to God that we would say that we would push John away from Christ's bosom and take his place. We're that close. In Romans 8, 1 and 2, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. As we've said before, it's like a body being chained to you and you can't get rid of it. And then finally, when you obey the gospel, it's set free. You no longer have that holding on to you. And that body of sin will no longer control you because you are being controlled by the Spirit of God. And being controlled by the Spirit of God, you are overcoming much of the flesh. But every day it's still a battle. So you're free from the condemnation of the flesh. If I'm free from the condemnation of the flesh, it means that Christ must have paid that for me. That he must have died in the flesh for my flesh. And if my flesh is not going to condemn me and God is going to look at my heart, God's going to look at the real me, the real inside of me, then I have what we talked about in class this morning. I have hope. Finally, I have hope that I can be saved even though this body is continually working against me and trying to take me away and tell me that I need to follow my fleshly desires. We're free from law's condemnation. You remember back in the Old Testament, one of the things God says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And the only ones that were going to make it was looking forward to a promise instead of trying to depend upon themselves. They looked forward to the promise of God that he was going to do something that would bring salvation. And now he is looking at himself and saying, you know what? And you can just imagine Paul saying, it wasn't very long ago that I was over there and I was depending on the law for my salvation. And now in Romans, he's writing just the opposite. He's saying, you can't be saved by the law. You may think you're doing good. And Paul says, boy, I was excellent at it. But his excellency didn't do anything. He now recognizes who he is. And I've been freed from law's condemnation. I finally found out that I had desired something that I shouldn't desire, and God condemned it. And now I recognize I need to be saved from this fellow that's on the outside. So Christ has paid for the flesh problem. Free to think about spiritual blessings. And I think that's one of the things that we ought to be thinking about. Just sometimes go to Ephesians 3 and look at all of the spiritual blessings that we have. Concentrate upon that. That we have these spiritual blessings. And instead of getting down so much because of the mistakes we make or the sins that we do, recognize that we have been set free and that God has paid for that and he's not going to charge it to your account. And I'm not talking about willful sin. I'm talking about those things that all of a sudden just pop up. And as I said, you can see it in driving sometimes. It just pops up all of a sudden in your head. So victory over sin comes from the Holy Spirit directing your spirit. If my spirit is directed by the Holy Spirit, and I understand that the Word of God is from the Holy Spirit, and we look at the Word of God and he's telling us what to do in our situation, that I now have the power to overcome sin, not that I am going to be perfect, but that my heart is going to be perfect with God. His gift of salvation and all of the spiritual blessings, when you think about the physical blessings, they're wonderful. But when you think about the spiritual blessings, they're beyond words. You can't even tell the peace that God gives you. He says it's beyond our comprehension, beyond the words that we have, that God has given us something so wonderful, and you need to think about those things. So we are rescued by Jesus Christ dying in the flesh. And that death was portrayed for you this morning here at the Lord's table and portrayed in a very good way. When you think about Christ dying for you and him paying the price for your flesh, for those sins in your flesh, he died in the flesh. In Romans 8, 3 and 4, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, there was not anything wrong with the law. The problem was us. The problem was that we couldn't keep the law or didn't keep the law. God sending his own son in the likeness of sin flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. We have directed our hearts toward God. We have directed our minds toward the word of God. We have directed our minds in such a way that we're not going to do our real thinking anymore. We're going to be let him do our thinking. Isn't that what repentance is about? Repentance is about I've changed who's going to direct my life. He's going to take the steering wheel. He's going to direct my life. I made a mess of it. And my body still wants to do those things that I used to do. But he says I've corrected that. So the problem of the flesh has been paid for. Every time you get down and think, boy, today I did it again, has been paid for. I think that's what Romans 4 is talking about when sin is not imputed to somebody. God does not impute that sin to you because Christ paid for it. I hope I'm making myself clear. Okay. So we come from despair to deliverance. You can imagine what they felt like in Egypt whenever they were freed from Egypt. But they weren't very faithful for very long. In 1 Corinthians 15, 53 through 57, he says, "For this corruptible," don't you hate that? This corruptible. This thing's getting older every day. It's corruptible. And I look in the mirror and I say, you know, that young man disappeared. I used to look in the young man there. And he disappeared all of a sudden. He's gone. And more mortality takes him. This corruptible must put on incorruption. There's not even words to say what that means. You wake up and you say, boy, and I don't care whether I'm 90 years old. People say, how old will you be whenever you're resurrected? I don't care. I just know that if it's 90 years old, I'll be able to jump the fences. I'll be able to do all of those good things that I'm supposed to do. And this mortal must put on immortality. That means we're not subject to death anymore. We're completely controlled by our spirit. Our spirit and our body, for the first time, is in agreement that we're going to be led by our spirit. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal should put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The stings of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are victorious. I love the idea of being at war and then being victorious. That we've been fighting this fight so long, and we wake up and we say, wow, look at the body. It is so great. What's it going to be like? Well, we don't know, except it's going to be like Jesus. And if we're like Jesus, that's wonderful. And for this we have been dreaming about, thinking about, planning about, giving up the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life, and say there's something more important than that. Something greater than that. Those things look attractive, but our God is more attractive than all of it. Why is there no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? Because through Christ, our life is no longer governed by the rules of sin and death. That's why. We have something else governing us. Do you remember we pointed it out before? That we live above the law. We fulfill the law. Because our whole motive is love, joy, and peace, and all of those things. He says there's no law against that. Our sin deserves the penalty of death. There's no question about that. But Christ's death has paid that penalty for us. And the Spirit has applied that redemptive act to our life. That's powerful. God has done something with His Son and then applied it to our life. We are not righteous as such, but we got into the one that is righteous. And His righteousness is our righteousness. His wisdom is our wisdom. His knowledge is our knowledge. So this breaks the connection between sin and death. It has set me free from the principle that sin always brings death, and that has raised me a sinner to the role of a child of God, an heir of eternal life. I want you to think about that eternal life. John says it very often. I've said it very often. Eternal life is not existence. Eternal life is quality. We are going to have quality. We're going to live eternally, but not just live eternally. We're really going to live. And when I say really live, you remember what it's like. Do you remember the best day of your life? I don't remember when it was. I think it was around 30 years old. I had a day that everything just seemed to go right, and everything was wonderful, and I didn't want it to end. The next day was a valley, but that day was special. And when you have that and say, what would it be like to have that every moment, eternally? Oh, it'd be wonderful. By the way, everybody pray for Peggy. She's going to have that watchman put in Wednesday.
Tuesday.
Yeah. She's going to have that to catch the blood clot. But anyway, she won't even need it when we get there. We won't need all of these things. I got a pacemaker here that makes you, keeps you going. So God condemned our sin in the flesh of Jesus. That's powerful. This is how God has set us free from the law of sin and death, namely through the substitutionary vicarious atonement of Jesus. He took our place. Jesus said, instead of them die, I'm going to pay the penalty for their sin. And that penalty is death, but more than that, all of the beatings that he had. And I'm not going to go through that because it was well explained. The righteousness of God, which is the content of the gospel, is that Jesus came to satisfy the law's requirement for penalty in our place. He lived the law perfectly with the intent of the law and said he did it so that you could come into him and he would have paid the price for you. I think Paul is making such a tremendous point. Jesus satisfied the requirement for law and in the imputation for us. When I come into Christ, I'm safe. Isn't that what predestination is? God predestinated before he ever made the world that those that come into Christ are going to be saved. Those outside of Christ will be lost. That's predetermined. As to who it is, that's up to the choice of the individual's free will. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, and please do not misunderstand this passage. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. When he says he made him to be sin, he made him to be the sin bearer. He bore sins for us. In other words, God said, I'm going to treat you as though you are the sinner. Was he sinner? No. But he bore our sins for us. Powerful stuff. Sin and death are defeated in us through the Holy Spirit. A person who lives according to the flesh is someone whose life is determined by all the things that relate to bodily life in this world. If someone whose whole being, both body and soul, is basically controlled by the sinful lusts and the inclination of the flesh for food. In other words, we can be gluttons. Sex. And I'll tell you, if you just look around you, this has become a major problem. Everything has been made unholy. And pleasure in general. We are a nation that wants pleasure. We've got to be entertained all the time instead of sitting down and thinking seriously. On the other hand, a person existing in accordance to the Spirit is someone whose life is oriented around and determined by the law of the Spirit of life. And that law of the Spirit of life is something that is so wonderful that we can't even explain it really. It's what happens in the mind. And this includes daydreams. What do you daydream about? And all of us have daydreams. I hope it's about going to heaven. I hope it's about being with one another in heaven. I hope it's about looking to those that we've lost and we're going to meet again and things like that. And conscious goals. What's my goal? Is my goal really eternal life? Is that really my goal? And the desires and the attitude and my points of view. I have lots of points of view. Some of them may be wrong. But in studying Scripture, you come up with certain things. The one whose life orientation is the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is preoccupied with the things of the Spirit. Do you really sit down and study the Word of God? Now, I recognize that I am not the sharpest Crayola in the box, but I also recognize that I learn a lot. And I may not have the ability that the real smart people have, but I do have the love of God in my heart, and I can understand some of the things. Do I understand all the Scripture? No, there are a lot of things in the Scripture I don't understand. But I love the Scripture. His desires, goals, and points of view are determined by the truth revealed in Scripture by the Spirit of God. And when I get off of that, my head gets all messed up. So his desires, goals, and points of view are determined by the truth revealed in the Scripture by the Spirit of God. In other words, we are looking for reality in every experience we have. Reality is the truth. And that's what I want to guide my life with. And that's what Paul guided his life by. He wanted the truth, he preached the truth, he taught the truth, and he even rebuked brethren that got out of the truth. And so, there's a fountain free. And as for you and me, I want you to think about these things, because Paul is saying that you've got so much to look forward to. You've got so much to enjoy right now, those spiritual blessings. And so he says, enjoy them. Don't be drugged down because you falter daily. But if you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel today. And if you don't know what to do, you can pick almost any man in the congregation or a woman, and they can tell you what you have to do to meet the criteria that God sets down for you to be saved. Won't you come all together? We stand and sing.